This is Fuel.
Fuel for thought.
Fuel injected.
Fuel for your business.
Jet fuel.
A month ago, I was in Tesco's car park and I found £20 on the floor. I picked it up and I thought, what would Jesus do with this? So I turned it into wine. And my brother was concerned over coming because of numbers. And I said, don't worry. I said, the rules are you can have 30 people for a funeral. I'm doing a ceremony for the turkey. I know I'm terrible. I can't help it.
And it's very nearly a Merry Christmas to all our listeners. Welcome to the Fuel Podcast, sponsored by the UK's favourite new business development platform, The Advertist. And that's not just hyperbole, gimmicks, bluffery and flimflam. Just listen to these unsolicited quotes from our clients, people who do business all day, every day. Very helpful for startup news and funding movement. This is my favourite. They cover news across various sectors and disciplines, so their daily update is really helpful, unlike some of the other trade press like Campaign or The Drum, etc. It always arms us with something extra for client catch-ups and helps us with targeting. It's also where I got most of my meetings this year. How about that? The Advertist is 100% dedicated to the business of new business at a price any agency can afford. So if prospecting for new clients is on your agenda for 2021, then give the team a call on 0203 356 3717 or email hello@theadvertist.com. That's theadvertist.com. Or visit the website and send us a DM at www.theadvertist.com. Right, that's it, no more ads. On to the serious business of the show. And we've literally got a cracker this week with another theological voyage as we attempt to link religion and sales in our second Christmas show. Not only that, but we've got a Christmas-themed story from Jeremy Davis, who's got part two of his new business take on Scrooge. Now, when we left our hero Sam last week, he was just about to make a phone call.
Sam closed his eyes as the phone continued to ring. At the fourth ring, with an abrupt click, the call connected. But even as Sam began to draw breath, ready to leave his voicemail message at the beep, everything around him suddenly fell silent. He looked around in surprise, and to his horror, everyone else in the office was frozen, as if in suspended animation. As he watched, the colour seemed to drain from the world, and a sudden heaviness gripped him, weighing him down as he slumped in his chair. A deep voice at the other end of the line suddenly broke the silence.
Hello, Sam.
Hello, he replied in a small voice. Who is this?
You can call me Mr. Itter, came the reply. Mr. Mark Itter. I'm the personification of all the time and money you've wasted over the years cold calling, when you could have been carefully researching prospects and preparing bespoke approaches based on a clear understanding of their marketplace and customers. Sam's throat went dry, and a chill ran down his spine. He long harboured a dark secret, the knowledge that cold calling was a waste of time, but a combination of internal pressure to hit targets and being too lazy to come up with an alternative approach had held him back from developing a process that actually worked. What do you want? He croaked into the phone.
As penance for the errors of the new business profession, I am forced to wander the kitchens and water coolers of fancy advertising agencies for eternity, weighed down by chains made from old phones and wires. This is the fate that awaits idle new business people who can't be bothered to learn.
No, murmured Sam, a vision of the future coming to his mind.
This is a warning to you, Sam. You can still escape this fate. Before the day ends, you will be visited by three spirits. Heed them well if you wish to mend your ways.
The line went dead. Sam stood up as around him colour and life returned to the world and the normal hubbub of office life rang in his ears once more. Above it all, though, Sam could hear the whirring of the photocopier. He looked across and saw that someone who looked very much like a younger version of himself was sitting bare-bummed on top of the copier, printing copies of his behind. Sam gulped. He remembered that time at the Christmas party when he had slipped away from the end-of-year address by the MD to muck about making a load of printouts of his bum to stick on people's desks. No one else seemed to have noticed what was going on. Sam stood and made his way nervously over to the machine. The figure fixed him with a steely gaze. "I am the ghost of Christmas past," it said, "and I bring a warning about your flippant ways and general lack of application. If you want new business to be taken seriously as a strategic discipline within this organization and maximize your own chances of career progression, you need to take things more seriously." And with that, the spirit vanished. Sam felt as though he had awoken from a dream. He looked down as one final sheet came out of the printer. It read, very simply, "Oh, and check your email."
I can't wait to find out how Jeremy's Christmas story ends, can you? So tune in next week for the third and final instalment. In the meantime, welcome to part two of our quest to link religion and new business as we approach the final week of work before the Christmas break. In the absence of meeting in person, we wanted to bring you a spiritual mince pie in the form of a chat with LinkedIn's Christian chaplain, Father John Taylor, who manages to keep us all going, even the religious skeptics, with his own brand of wise counsel blended with corny humour. And we love it. So let's close our eyes and bow our head as the Fuel Podcast welcomes Father John Taylor. There ain't no atheists in a foxhole. It's a well-known aphorism, meaning that in times of extreme stress or fear, such as during war, all people will believe in or hope for a higher power. The recent months, and with the introduction of the lockdown, which hopefully by the time this episode is released will have eased enough for people to be able to feel at least a little bit seasonal, have demonstrated that we all need to be a bit more understanding and empathetic. We're being bombarded with so much conflicting information about what to do, what not to do, which postcode to live in, who to mingle with, etc., that some people just feel it's all getting a bit too emotionally distressing. Now, whatever side of any political argument we find ourselves on, we need to be able to understand that everybody, and I mean everybody, needs a little help and compassion. This pandemic has exposed the soft white underbelly of human life, and we've seen simultaneous acts of incredible sacrifice and kindness, and also terrible selfishness and ignorance. Whether we believe we should lock down, or if we think herd immunity is the way to go, whether we believe in vaccinations or not, none of us, and I mean none of us, are absolutely 100% sure that we're right. And most of us are just using our instincts. But in the words of the fabulous George Michael, we've got to have faith. We've got to have faith that we're going to get through this and that one day we're going to be able to spend time with our loved ones without fear of giving or receiving a deadly virus. Faith is exactly that. It's belief without proof. It's an inner conviction that we're right and we're never more unsure that we're doing the right thing than now. So I wanted to use my platform to introduce you to someone who's probably got a lot more faith than most of us. As part of the Fuel Podcast December season, we're speaking to some people who believe in something bigger than the next new business win or the next new promotion, like, follow, or tweet. Father John Taylor is a regular contributor on LinkedIn, and I've taken it upon myself to appoint him our Christian chaplain. By the time this show goes out, we should be out of lockdown and some of us looking forward to Christmas, so I wanted to spread some love. I first encountered Father John and his corny dad humour about 3 years ago, and not being a man known for his spiritual bent, I thought it would be useful for us all to spend a little time topping up our faith tanks and remembering that, despite all the hubbub of business, there are folks out there who are genuinely struggling. So, to help us focus on that for a while, is Father John Taylor. Welcome, Father John.
Hello and welcome, Keith. Fantastic introduction. How can I follow that?
Well, welcome to our church. It's a broad church, and it's completely all inclusive, because we're actually looking at other religions and faiths and belief as part of this series. And for me, not being a terribly spiritual person, it's going to be quite a journey. So I just wanted to wish you the best of the season, first of all, and may I be the first to wish you a Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. And a very Merry Christmas to you and everyone else as well.
Well, I probably am the first to wish you a Merry Christmas because we're recording this in the start of November. So
the 2nd of November, to be precise. But in all fairness, shops have been selling Christmas goods since beginning of September, so you're a little bit late.
Well, I guess I am. I'm always behind the curve and as far as that's concerned. But now, on to matters personal. Are you and your young family all well?
Yeah, we're all perfectly fine and enjoying the new lockdown restrictions placed upon us. So,
is that said with some irony, I take it, is it?
Well, to be honest with you, nothing changed for me because my daily routine's the same. I visit families who've lost someone. I try and comfort them and arrange the funerals with them and then conduct the services. So in a pandemic,
nothing changes. No, except you probably get a bit busier, I should imagine.
Yes,
on all fronts.
Yes, yeah. And it's not being the busy side that's the worrying thing. It's the worst part of it is seeing families again too soon for the same reason. You end up feeling a bit guilty because you saw them a month ago, right, and there they are, someone else has died. And that hits your heartstrings as well.
Oh, I bet. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Well, okay, before we sort of get too into it, let's deal with your particular stripe. So just for clarification, what denomination of Christian are you, and what's its kind of main identifying characteristic?
Right. Well, I was ordained a priest in the old Roman Catholic Church.
Right.
And which basically is they use the Tridentine Rite, which is like the formal one which Catholics use. And we tend to try to adopt the Catholics' sort of teachings as such, except we can marry in our orders, have a family as well. So, unlike all the others, we do not receive stuff, we don't get paid, we have to fund ourselves. So that's the biggest difference. So everything which I do, it costs me money to do it. But you do it because you love it, no other reason, and because it's a calling.
Wow. Well, okay. Well, on that subject, because you're self-funded, I mean, that's something that obviously a lot of people on LinkedIn, which you tend to inhabit, a lot of business people are sort of familiar with, you know, in the terms of starting an own business and bootstrapping, they like to call it. I mean, it's a daily challenge to produce revenue, and I guess no different for you. But because we're a business podcast, I just wanted to kind of quickly ask you. I mean, you use LinkedIn as a communication channel, and that's obviously where I picked up on you. I mean, do you view sort of some form of practicing religion and what you do as a business?
Interesting. If you actually look at religion itself and all aspects around religion, it is a business in itself. Everywhere business. Take Halloween. Okay, we've just done this, so this is exciting.
Right.
Now, for me, I mean, I use humour in everything which I do because it breaks down barriers. Because believe it or not, not everyone likes religion, and especially if you walk around looking like a pint of Guinness, like I do, you can get targeted from the wrong person or a nice person. So it depends. So it's like a bit like Marmite. People love you or they hate you. I suppose really religion is everywhere. Look at Halloween now. For myself, I like to use humour on everything which I do. And because we've got a 5-year-old son, and believe me, he is a monster, without trying, but he's a monster all year, not just on Halloween. And I got all my wedding videos out and used those as decoration for Halloween festival. And I relabeled our wedding video and called it Scary Movie. And I really enjoyed sleeping on the sofa again. but if you actually look at religion being a business, now, I suppose in many ways we are selling ourselves. We're selling God as the product.
Yes.
And how to get to God is through faith, through prayer, and through conducting your life. So it is a business, but unlike was it, non-stick frying pans, there really is a heaven, you know, so you do get a reward at the end of it, you know. But if you lose religion, then you shops, manufacturers, factories, every single aspect associated with these seasonal periods would is, I imagine, in some companies, it keeps them afloat. Because it's people like walking into a place. You go into a shop, it's just a shop. You put a bit of Christmas decoration around, making it all look glitter, a bit of music, the smell of mince pies or a bit of turkey or something going around, and you've got a whole atmosphere. People are happier, they're excited more, they then go out, they spend more. So, yes, it is a business, there's marketing. The only thing is I get to put a pretty frock on at the end of the day and I pass around a collection plate. That's it.
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, a lot of what you say, it's, you know, it's very true, because, I mean, you know, it does have a product, you know, and it does have a you know, a P&L, a profit and loss, and it has, you know, sort of representatives and all of us as potential customers. But, I mean, in your, I mean, because you inhabit the world of LinkedIn, not saying all the time, but I mean, you do use it as a, yeah, but you do, I mean, you do use it as a channel for, you know, for reaching people. I mean, do you think that the broader, wider church itself needs to, or could use some sort of business skills, some modern business skills? I mean, you know, you class it as, I mean, I think we mentioned the term customer acquisition. I mean, you know, so, I mean, what sort of techniques do you think could be used, you know, if you were in charge of running the church?
Well, with lockdown, we saw the first stages of this happening. We saw church, because people couldn't, wasn't allowed to attend their church or their mosque or wherever building which they go to. Right. Cameras were set up, so you had an interactive link as the priest conducted the service. So this COVID has, in many ways, opened, I think, the doors for there's loads of opportunities there. I mean, with everything. I mean, look at politicians, wonderful people. Everybody loves them, never say anything wrong and always doing their best for us.
No, I can detect that irony.
Has my nose grown? You know, or as we say, bless.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah, but no, there's so many aspects which I think need to be addressed. I mean, you have to market the religion because it's changing. People have changed. I mean, the Pope recently allowed the acceptance of same-sex civil partnerships. A huge leap forward. Interestingly, though, the people who were complaining about it were people it would never affect in the first place. But for those it does affect and it does touch their lives, it's changed. And I think marketing, I think religion and churches and priests themselves do need to be reshaped, remodeled and brought up to today's world. And the internet allows access. This is why I like LinkedIn. And I found more so a platform now during this pandemic. I receive, since this down, thousands of messages, emails, people suffering mentally, financially, emotionally, suicides, people. I've talked out, hopefully, quite a few people from taking their own life. I mean, it is not easy. So, yes, I think business strategy-wise, there should be a more friendly approach, because the problem is with priests, not myself, but the others I'm talking about, are very intelligent people. And the trouble is with intelligent people, when they preach, it comes across in a manner which can send some people to sleep.
Right.
So we do need people in marketing, people in other skills to approach the church, I believe, and change it, to make it acceptable to everybody.
That's great. And, you know, it's funny, actually, because I had a conversation with, well, numerous conversations, given what we're all going through now as far as the pandemic's concerned, saying that it's kind of accelerated change towards you know, a certain direction where, you know, we're all using Zoom or we're all, you know, sort of doing different things now that are sort of suited for remote working. And, you know, it kind of strikes me that the church could definitely, you know, or, you know, a channel that you could definitely utilize would be something like, you know, like we're doing now, the whole podcasting side of things, you know. So, oh, that's great. I think it's fantastic that you're aware of that. And, you know, it's nice to sort of see that that we can sort of help elevate that conversation if at all possible. And funnily enough, actually, podcasting, religion is one of the top categories for podcasts as well. So there definitely is an avenue for you there. But the main reason I wanted to sort of have you on the show, apart from the fact, obviously, you're a nice fella, and it's lovely to you know, to get to know you a bit better, was I wanted to see if the, as you alluded to, that we could offer some words of comfort for those in the wider business community that are probably feeling quite a little bit battle weary. I mean, you know, 2020 has been a sort of a massive shock to people's lives, and mental welfare is a big topic on LinkedIn right now. And I think that it gets kind of a lot of lip service, but not much in terms of action. I mean, what would be your message to those people who are just sort of just wondering when this is ever going to end?
Oh, okay. Originally, I thought this was going to be all over in April.
Sure.
Then now it's coming up. It's not going to be over this year. I don't always understand what's behind it. But the thing is, regardless of what we think or understand, it's here. And it's the impacts it's having is for some people who are not allowed to leave their homes. I mean, can you imagine being out there? Of course, you're a young man. You're a young man, so for you,
I don't know what picture you're looking at.
But I'm going to go to the opticians later, don't I? But you know, but to be an elderly person, fearful. I mean, and people are scared.
Okay, yes.
To go outside. They are terrified. This is the strangest thing. This is why you've got to admire the elderly people. They don't care about themselves. They're not really worried if they die. They're still probably saving up for when they get old, and they're probably about 80 or 90 now.
Sure.
But they're worried about passing it on to somebody else. They're worried about their family. So you've got these people who are isolated. So something like Zoom, something like WhatsApp, something like video messages. If you can't interact, go out your way to go and see them. Where I used to live, because we've only just moved a month ago.
Congratulations.
We had to get out. We was in a flat. There was drunks passing out inside our building. Was killing about 2 to 3 mice a day. We was regularly getting infested for cockroaches. So it was great fun.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Welcome.
And we moved. Welcome. How could I leave all of that behind me, I hear you say? You know? You know, but it's for people out there, they need a bit of company. Now, yes. I used to see people, there was an old people's home down the road for me, and families used to come outside, their elderly mother was in the window, and they used to sit on a chair talking so yes. they could see him. And that's what people need. We need more interaction. A text message, we become quite cold. So a text message, oh, that's nice. But to phone somebody up is nice. But to phone them up with a video chat is nice. But to be able to go round and see them face to face, even if you can't interact with them, just to see them, just to make sure they're okay. Because one thing about being a human being, you don't have to be a Christian, you're human, is that you have compassion and you care for another person. And that's the difference. Forget religion, forget everything else. We're all in this together. We've got to look after each other.
Yeah, and I mean, we'll come on to that again in just a sec, because I think it's going to be important that people get some takeaways from this. And I think one of those could be, you know, some tips for you know, for how to sort of how to pay it forward slightly this yeah. season. But I mean, one of the things that I've seen a lot of on the sort of LinkedIn has been the idea of people getting into meditation and mind calming exercises and things, which I think are, you know, can be beneficial tremendously. I mean, have you got any tips that you use for? Because I mean, this must be an everyday thing for you. You know, have you got any tips for trying to maintain sanity for when things are going crazy? I mean, what do you say to yourself to calm yourself down?
Well, the thing is, I mean, Jesus come up. I'll give you an example. A month ago, I was in Tesco's car park and I found £20 on the floor. And I thought to myself, I picked it up and I thought, what would Jesus do with this? So I turned it into wine. And I've often found that...
Oh, man.
No, for me to relax, basically, and this is going to sound really crazy, I listen to other people. I help other people. My whole time is that. The only thing which I do on my birthday and Christmas, I used to buy a bottle of Bollinger champagne and about midnight or 11 o'clock at night, turn off all the lights and just listen to some opera and just drink the bottle of champagne in complete silence. And for me, that's bliss. You know? But the rest of the time, it's just watching videos, listening to people. I've actually, now my wife knows what I look like. You know, it was strange because there's always some person hanging outside and I used to call the police and say, no, it's your wife, John, let her in. So, you know, but it sounds a joke, but so many of us are busy. My wife's studying now to be a radiographer. So she's at college all day. Right. In the daytime, I take my son to school, pick him up, take him out, and I do all the bits and pieces which I need to do. So it's finding time. And so now we're actually talking. Well, first of all, we were shouting at each other because we thought, who are you? And now we understand each other more. And it's very odd. Families are refinding themselves. So you're forced into a circumstance, situation, which we forgot. You know, and it's lovely. On that side of it, it's absolutely lovely, where you can talk as a family, play as a family, and we've stopped watching telly, to be honest with you.
Wow. That's fantastic. Whereas you see a lot of people have just upped their Netflix subscription and decided to double down on the TV entertainment. But I mean, just touching on that. I mean, I know from a previous chat that we had that, I mean, you've gone above and beyond. I don't want to linger on it too much, but I mean, I just want to put this out there. I mean, you have recently kind of used the proceeds of the sale of your house and your car previously, you know, to help those in need. And I mean, obviously not that we'd recommend everyone does something like that, but I mean, I just wanted to know, have you got three things that people can take away here ways that they can pay it forward this Christmas?
Right, three things.
And by the way, thank you very much for doing that with your house and your car. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, but in all fairness, it was a flat, not a house. But I sold that and gave away before my wife had our son. So at that time, it was a mutual decision between us. Then we had a child. Had I had the child first, I wouldn't have given away everything I owned. Hence why we've had problems moving in here, why we've got little, you know, because it's easy. I mean, when coronavirus came in, we was due to go on holiday to see family and friends, and we couldn't go. So we used that money and we made food bags and stood out every day giving away £1,000 worth of food to people, knocking on people's doors, making sure they're okay. Wow. So that's what I'd say is it doesn't matter what you have or how little you have, someone will always be happy to see you. If you've got an extra seat at your table, it will cost you, 30p to add another plate there, invite someone to sit at a table. I mean, Christmas, I don't know what rules are coming in. At the moment, it's only allowed six people. But I did tell my family and friends who I know because my brother split up with his wife and he's got the kids because she's a nurse, so she's working. And my brother was concerned over coming because of numbers. And I said, don't worry. I said, the rules are you can have 30 people for a funeral. I'm doing a ceremony for the turkey. And I said, and we're just going to eat the proceeds at the end. But you can do little things. I know I'm terrible. I can't help it.
I'm trying to keep a straight face here, Father John.
No, but you can do little things. It's simple. I mean, go through your cupboards. How many items have you got? When we moved, we gave away so much furniture to people worse off than us. Only thing is, I never considered I might need a table and chairs or I might need a new sofa, but it didn't matter because the other people needed it more than what we did. You know, luckily, we are now in a better area and we're, most of all, I'm happy. Not everybody is, but the cupboards you'll have, go for your clothes now, you'll find items you haven't worn for a year or two. If you haven't worn them for a year, give them to someone that could wear them now. You've got food in your cupboard, you've got bits and pieces, maybe old bits. Someone would appreciate it. It's Christmas. You'll be amazed at how happy people would be just by giving them something you've got laying around and not even thought of.
Wow, there we go. There we go. So that's now we are a public service broadcast as well. So, so that's fantastic. There's some good tips there, and I will put them on the show notes for the show as well, so that people can just revisit them. So I think that's great. That's very useful. Very useful idea. And we're funnily enough, actually, we invited our friends and family to instead of sending a Christmas present or stuff. To you know, that we all send Christmas presents around, that instead just take that money and give it to a charity instead. So, you know, because there's, you know, so I think that's probably, you know, we don't need anything else. I think we're now at
but
a point.
Bearing in mind, there are people now who are struggling for the first time in their lives.
Yes.
It's not just charities. It's people which you walk past and see.
Yes.
Single parents with kids and bits and pieces. Now, all of a sudden, they haven't got the money to buy their toys. I mean, we wanted to buy our son one of those 24-volt battery cars. He's obsessed with cars. I can't afford it. You know, and then we're looking at bits and pieces and you think, well, what would you do? It's trying to find a happy equilibrium between everything what you do. But what little you have to share.
Yeah.
This is unprecedented. None of us experienced this probably since World War II where we've had a situation like this.
That's very true.
So it's a learning call for us all. And like you said at the beginning, we don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. So we just have to make the most of it. You know, and enjoy what we have.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Now, I understand that you you recently qualified as a psychological first aider, which is extraordinary. I mean, I suppose there's first of all, I had exisms and jumped into my head, but that's not the same thing. But I mean, what is a psychological first aider? I mean, how did you do that?
It's a psychological COVID first aider.
Right.
And the reason I took this course, I was in a cafe and there was this elderly woman. She was 76 with her brother. And she was on about a flu vaccination. And she was terrified of taking it because her brother said, well, if you take it and you catch COVID, you're 5 times higher of dying or whatever risk of it and all that. So I sat and broke it down with her. I said, yes, it's true. But it's also, if you don't have the flu vaccination, and I said, and then later you catch COVID, I said, you could also be at the high end. I said, the best person to listen to is your own doctor because he has all your medical records on there. I said, we can always find positive and negative and everything, but speak to your doctor. He knows you inside and out, and he'll be able to advise you better. And then I went online and I found, which is this, which is a COVID bit. And it teaches you how to, it's a certificate of achievement, COVID-19 Psychological First Aid, Public Health England. And it just teaches you certain aspects to what to look out for first in a person. Because people behaviours change. When you're scared, you change. I mean, basically, we can be many things. And it's looking for that and then try to address how you speak to that person. You know, there used to be an advert where the American army went into some built-up area like Iraq or somewhere, and his people are shouting at him. He's wearing his sunglasses.
That's
and
right,
they're shouting.
Yes.
And he takes the sunglasses off, and it all comes. It's the same sort of approach. It's finding out, because you can't change everything, you can't fix everything, but there are certain things which you can change and you can give advice on, and then hopefully just by doing 1 out of 10 might make that person's day a little bit easier and a little bit more reassuring. And that's basically all it is. It's listening to what they say, because they'll tell you what it is that's bothering them. And then hopefully you'll be able to find a sensible solution, not what you think, because it's never about what you think, what you believe. It's about that person who is vulnerable at that time. And that's what we should all consider, looking out for those who are, unfortunately, for that brief moment, not themselves.
Two ears and one mouth sort of thing.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough. And no, that's great and good advice as well. And I'm sure we could all benefit from having a sort of a refresher on that. So now we come to the point in the show, which is your star moment, where you get to give your sermon. Now, just for anyone listening, I've got no idea what's coming. So, we'll deal with the aftermath afterwards. But when this goes out, I will play it back with the backing track of your favourite piece of music, which I asked you for as well, and a favourite book. So before you start, okay. Then you can deliver your sermon for the Fuel Podcast listeners.
Okay,
so first of all, your piece of music is?
Right, my piece of music is called Ue o Muiti Aruku by Kiru Sakamoto.
Okay,
it's,
yes.
I heard it, I did a funeral, and I played it, and I thought, wow. So I went and Googled it, and it's a story about a man looking up to the stars so his tears don't fall. And I just love the sound of it, the melody of it, and it's one of those music which I could sit there in the sunset, watching the sun, and glass of wine, and drift away. I just love that song.
So, okay, so that's the piece of music, and we'll tee that up and put that under. And a book, I mean, dare I guess?
Right, okay. It was either Mr. Men, right? But I thought I'd go for something a little bit more intellectual. And then I figured, well, the one book which I tend not to have time to read is the book which I should read every single day, and that's the Bible, because it's more than just a book. It teaches you about how to be a better person. It teaches you intellectual. It teaches you emotional. It teaches you so many attributes which we should have, and the stories. I mean, so if you got a long time on a desert island, that's the one book which you could sit there and read over and over again. And that would be my book of choice for that reason only.
And it's definitely a bestseller as well.
There's a few out there. I mean, yeah. But the trouble is people tend to lose them, because this poor bloke Gideon, I've still got his Bible I found in my hotel.
I tell you what, you know, you may make light of it, but you know, the reason we do this is because, you know, in this world of everybody podcasting and video broadcasting and using video windows and stuff, we decided that we were going to put together a virtual bookshelf for people so they could choose books to go in the bookshelf that sits behind them. And a bookshelf would just not be complete without a copy of the Bible there. So good choice. All right. Well,
I recently bought one of the microchips of the New Testament. So I just thought I'd chuck that. It's only about that big. And I saw it online, because when they done the Apollo 11 or whatever it was, they sent up to space with a microchip of the Bible.
Right.
So I bought one of those, so I'm quite chuffed. Now it's tucked away in a drawer and I've forgotten which drawer, but I've got it.
Fantastic. All right. Well, yeah, that's definitely a good idea. But I think a good old-fashioned copy of the Bible is always good. Mm. Well, listen, I am going to hand the pulpit over to you, and so you can give your Christmas 2020 sermon. Over to you, Father John.
Right. Thank you. Right. This year has been incredibly hard for all of us. It hasn't progressed. It's been so bad, I've not even going to count my birthday. So next year I'm going to have that one this time. So I'm a year younger. But this is a story which I heard a few years ago, and it's called The Three Trees. And it's one of those stories which every time I read it or hear it, it always makes me feel emotional. I hope that it hits home and you'll understand the meaning of it, because not everything is what we plan. Once upon a mountaintop, three little trees stood and dreamt of what they wanted to become when they grew up. The first little tree looked up at the stars and said, "I want to hold treasure. I want to be covered with gold and filled with precious stones. I want to be the most beautiful treasure chest in the whole world." The second little tree looked up at a small stream and he noticed one trickling by leads into the ocean. He said, "I want to be traveling mighty waters and carrying powerful kings. I will be the strongest ship in the whole wide world." The third little tree looked down into the valley below where men and women worked in a busy town. "I don't want to leave the mountain top at all. I want to grow so tall that when people stop to look at me, they raise their eyes to heaven and think of God. I will be the tallest tree in the whole world." Years passed. The rain came, the sun shone, and the little trees grew tall. One day, three woodcutters climbed the mountain. The first woodcutter looked at the first tree and said, "This is beautiful. It's perfect for me." And with a swoop of his shining axe, the first tree fell. And he thought to himself, "Now I shall be made into a beautiful chest. I will hold wonderful treasure." The second woodcutter looked at the second tree and said, "This tree is strong. It's perfect for me." And with a swoop, the tree fell. "Now I shall sail mighty waters," thought the tree. "I shall be a strong ship for mighty kings." The third tree felt a heart sink when the last woodcutter looked her way and stood straight and tall, and she looked bravely looking up to the sky. But the woodcutter never even looked up. "Any kind of tree would do for me," he muttered, and with his axe, he felled that tree. The first tree rejoiced when the woodcutter brought her to a carpenter's shop. But the carpenter fashioned the tree into a feed box for animals. The once beautiful tree was not covered with gold nor with treasure. Instead, she was coated with sawdust and filled with hay for hungry farm animals. The second tree smiled when the woodcutter took her to a shipyard. But no mighty sailing ship was made that day. Instead, the once strong tree was hammered and sewn into a simple fishing boat. She was too small and weak to sail an ocean or even a river. Instead, she was taken to a lake. The third tree was confused when the woodcutter cut her into strong beams and left her in a lumberyard. "What happened?" the once tall tree wondered. "All I ever wanted was to stay on a mountaintop and look to God." Many days, nights passed, years even, and the trees forgot all of their dreams. But one night, golden starlight poured over the first tree as a young woman placed a newborn baby in the feed box. "I wish I could make a cradle for him," her husband whispered. The mother squeezed his hand and smiled as the sunlight shone on the smooth and sturdy wood. "This manger is beautiful." And suddenly, you can see I always get emotional. And suddenly, the first tree knew he was holding the greatest treasure in the world. One evening, a Thai traveller and his friends crowded into the old fishing boat. The traveller fell asleep as the second tree quietly sailed out into the lake. Soon, thunder and a thrashing storm arose. The little tree shuddered. She knew that she did not have the strength to carry so many passengers safely through the wind and the rain. Then the man awakened. He stood up, stretched out his hand and said, "Peace." and the storm stopped as quickly as it began. And suddenly the second tree knew he was carrying the king of heaven and earth. One Friday morning, the third tree was startled with the beams were yanked from the forgotten woodpile. She flinched. She was carried through an angry, jeering crowd. She shuddered when soldiers nailed a man's hands and feet to her. She felt ugly, harsh, and cruel. But on Sunday morning, when the sun rose and the earth trembled with joy beneath her, the third tree knew that God's love had changed everything. He had made the third tree strong. And every time people thought of the third tree, they also thought of God. And that is better than being the tallest tree in the world. So whatever you think is going to happen to you, no matter how you think you want your life to go, God has a plan. And it never goes how we often would consider, but it certainly takes us in directions which we can look back and think, wow.
That is fantastic. Thank you very much indeed. What a great moment. What a great moment. Thank you so much indeed. That's fantastic. Oh, yes, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And so obviously with that being the that time of year and a pandemic and your own family, I mean you're going to be busy. So I mean what's coming up for you in the next the next month or so then, and how can any listeners help you?
Well, I do have a PayPal account because everything which I do does cost money. If I go out and give food, it costs money. If I supply tents, it costs money. Sure. Sleeping bags, everything which I do, I still do today and everything else. So I don't know if you want me to say it or you can read it.
Well, we'll do both. We'll put it in the show notes and we'll put it on the LinkedIn as well. But okay, so there's a PayPal address and people just send a fiver. Tenner, whatever.
Yeah, fiver or 20 million, whichever you want, whichever's the easiest you've got laying around in your back pocket, it's easy. But it's whatever happens. See, I look after an orphanage in Hungary. There's a charity called Children in Chernobyl, which again, the families there struggle this time of year. Everyone's struggling now. And walk out your door, you'll see somebody. If you can't help me, look out your door, help someone you see. Don't walk past somebody in the street and think, I'm going to give a tenner to so-and-so. I'd much rather you give it to someone there, you know. And that's what we should all consider, thinking about helping others.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much indeed. Personally, I just want to wish you all the very best for all the kind of good works that you're doing. And I hope you get to make a difference because regardless of whether other people are kind of spiritual or not, you know, it's like we all need a little bit of compassion and, you know, and some understanding. So, I mean, Father John, thank you so much for taking part in the show. I mean, I hope you get to develop your own platform soon. And if there's anything I can do in that respect to help you, obviously, you know, if you need any tips, don't call me, but I'll gladly pass on your questions to someone who knows.
One quick story.
Go on.
Right. A few weeks ago, I received a call from a funeral director asking if I could meet him at the cemetery, bring all my stuff. I turned up and they're doing a film there. And originally I was going to instruct an actor how to play a priest for a burial. The producer looked at me and he says, do I want to play the priest? So I said, yes. So we've done it. We load the coffin up and down four times, you know, to get the right shot. And then I done the whole ceremony, which was great fun. It was with Jude Law and an actress called Ruth Wilson.
Yes.
So
yes.
From doing nothing to suddenly doing that, you never know. I could be Arnold Schwarzenegger stunt double next, couldn't I?
You could just be the priest that everyone calls on. Certainly not Terminator. That's not a very good role for you.
Terminator. I've seen Machine Gun Preacher. You know, or that other one, the priest with the vampires. Luckily, there aren't any vampires out there. I did have a look on Halloween, and there wasn't too many.
Not that you know of.
But did you know the average body contains enough bones to make an entire skeleton? There you go.
And with that,
Thank you for having me, and have a lovely day.
Well, thank you very much, Father John. I hope I get to speak to you again soon. But in the meantime, we'll put all the notes and stuff on the show, and I'm sure people want to help.
I'm
sure people will be able to help you out as much as they can. And I mean, literally, I'm for heartfelt. God bless you, and you know, I hope that I hope you have a good Christmas, and that we're all in a happier frame of mind for next year. In the meantime, thank you very much for your time, Father John.
God bless. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you, Father John, for all your hard work and spiritual motivation, and the very best of the season to you. All the details you need to reach Father John and how to support his work via PayPal are in the notes at www.thefuelpodcast.com. Just click on the show link. My thanks also to Team Fuel, that's co-producer Donna, the band The Prospectors, and our vital IT support provided by the kindly folk at Quijibo Design in downtown Indianapolis, USA. So join us next time on Fuel, sponsored by The Advertist, the new business development platform for the new business curious. And really, shouldn't that include you?